Make way for the King of Kings. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that you're here by your Spirit. And we pray that by your Spirit, your truth shall reach our hearts, reach our minds, reach our souls, and enable us to be closer to you. And may you be glorified in your word. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses from John chapter 14, from the NIV. The words are up here if you don't have an NIV, or the words are up there anyway, even if you do have an NIV. And it's the first 10 verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Praise God. I am the way. That's what I'm thinking about this morning. Jesus, the way. Not a way, the way. And I'm going to show you a few images on here. And I'd like to see, obviously can't see all your faces. It'd be interesting to see the expression on your faces if you had to walk this path. Okay, some of them, okay, some of them not so good. So that's quite a sort of get out of bed in the morning sort of path, isn't it? You'd have to make sure that you weren't unsteady on your feet, otherwise you'd be having a quick bath. I don't know if you can see that one very well. But I'm not sure how comfortable you'd be being suspended from trees like that. Next one, Ross. Don't take the wrong turn on that one. It could be fatal. And how about driving when you've got about 30 foot of ice and snow on either side? Not so good. How's about that to get to your neighbour's house? And in case you can't see that very well, that isn't a path cut out of a mountainside, that's a path suspended from a mountainside. So that's a path and a half, that's a difficult one. Scarfell, I'm going to mention that in a moment. And the best path of all, because Psalm 119 verse 5 says, about God's word, it is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The best path of all. A couple of weeks ago, before the most recent national lockdown, Ross and myself went off to Scarfell, which is obviously the image we've just seen there. It's, for those of you who don't know, the highest peak in England, and quite a difficult climb. I confess it was his idea, not mine, but I went along with it, as you do. And just to make it more interesting, it was torrential rain, or as our postman calls it, liquid sunshine, and 50 mile an hour winds. So that was a real joy. You can tell by the expression on my face when I say joy, that wasn't quite the word I was thinking of. But we got across to the Lake District, and by the time we got to Wastwater, which is at the bottom of the mountain, it had died down a little bit, stopped raining, very damp underfoot, very grey, not exactly tropical, but it was all right. And, you know, Ross has done his Gold Duke of Edinburgh expedition, so he had his compass, he was map reading, you know, he knew the topography and all that sort of thing, so fairly happy with that. We could navigate. We got off to quite a good start. And then we came to a ford. I don't mean a car. I mean a little crossing point that you'd normally go across, a little babbling brook, and it would normally be about this. Oh no. What had just been happening? Torrential rain. We got there, and it was above boot height. So you couldn't walk through that because it would literally have swept you away. So we had to traverse up quite a while and then come back down. So instead of just walking from here to there, we went all the way up there and all the way back down just to find a crossing point. And that was probably about a 45-minute detour there, and the same when we came back. So that was about an hour and a half extra. And it was tough, if I'm honest. We didn't quite make it to the top. We're just a kilometre to go, and only about 100 metres in elevation. We just didn't quite make it. And frankly, by then, I was completely exhausted. He was all right, but you know, I'm getting old these days. So we had to turn back. We're getting short of time, short of daylight. We turned around. The truth was that an unexpected obstacle in the way, that watercourse, stopped us from getting where we wanted to go. And probably a bit of my fitness as well. I'm not used to climbing that. But anyway, the obstacle stopped us. There was something in the way. Alfred Wainwright, some of you may know, wrote over 40 books about the Lake District and walking across the Lake District in various paths. And you know, the key to his books was to stick explicitly to his direction. And if you did that, then you would be safe and you wouldn't get lost. There wouldn't be any dangers because you're sticking to what he said. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Wainwright was qualified to give the instructions about the Lake District because he'd been there before. But Jesus, for our lives, not only knows the way, he is the way. That's why Hebrews says, fix your eyes on him. Don't look at things around. Fix your eyes on him. He is the way, the author of the way, the perfecter of the way. He made the way for us, the way to where, to get into communion with God, ultimately to be in heaven with him, to be forgiven, the way of salvation. Jesus said in the reading this morning, powerfully, I am the way. I wonder how many people sat up at that point at his words. I am the way. And we should be sitting up at his words this morning too. I am the way, says Jesus. The way, that's an interesting term, isn't it? The way, that's what people of the early church were called, people of the way, before the term Christian was coined, people of the way. If you remember in Acts 9, Saul had arrest warrants for people of the way. And then amazingly, when, you know, a few years down the line, he was before Governor Felix, and he confessed that he was a person of the way. That's incredible, isn't it? What a transformation. He wanted to stop people of the way, as Saul, and yet he found the way, or rather, Jesus found him and transformed him. Completely changed. And that's the thing about Jesus, the way, he transforms. Have you been transformed this morning by the way, by Jesus? I'm not talking about a set of regulations and rules. I'm talking about the person, Jesus Christ, the living God, the Son of God. You know, it's nearly Christmas and we've got lots of things around us, including the Advent candle. Don't get that wrong, the candle. We've thought about hope, we've thought about peace. You know, there'll be joy, there'll be hope. There is Jesus who brings all of those things. The first Advent, we celebrate Christmas, don't we? A type rejoice And remember that God made a way. Even at that point in time, that little infant Jesus, part of God's plan. Part of grass sometimes, isn't it? Because we see the baby, and yet just 33 years later, at Easter, the same person who grew up to become a man and gave his life. The plan that God had, the way that God developed from the infant to the man, to our Saviour Jesus, the way. God certainly made, and somebody else has coined this, but I put it up here, a way in a manger, didn't he? A way that was unexpected. And that's the thing. Not an obvious way. Even the clever ones didn't quite get it. You know, the wise men thought, oh, this new baby born to be king must be in a palace in Jerusalem. But he wasn't, was he? He was in a stable in Bethlehem. An unexpected way. And that's perhaps why many in the world don't grasp this way through Jesus. There must be more to it. There must be something extra that I've got to give. Not what we can give. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's what Jesus has done. His righteousness. And what he has given to us. Forgiveness as we come to him. That is God's way in operation. Not some human concept, but God's way. Not obvious at all. I've quoted this before. A former pastor of this church, Clyde Young, said that before there was a sinner on earth, there was a saviour in heaven. And that's an incredible thought, isn't it? Because God's plan is perfect. His way is perfect. Jesus is the way, and he is perfect. The perfect sacrifice. And Einstein used a great acknowledgement. His comment was, God doesn't roll dice. God doesn't leave anything to chance. Because God's plan is perfect. God's way is perfect. That's so why it's so important to follow him, to listen to him. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything in between too, and everything for us. Because it says in 1 Corinthians this, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So whatever mankind may dream up of, it can never formulate, it can never get to a point of being able to bridge the gap, that gap that sin brings between God and mankind. But Jesus can, and does, today. He did then, but he does today too. How great he is. How great he is. And here's a few more examples highlighting the greatness of God and his discernment. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Romans 11, 33 and 34 says this, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counsellor? His ways are far higher than our ways, because he's Almighty God. He's incredible, isn't he? Far above all. And yet he sent his Son to be the way that we can be transported, elevated to be with the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that incredible? We come here this morning and we're ordinary folk in that sense. And yet we're not. Because knowing Jesus enables us access to the Father. A new way, Jesus. And to get back to our reading this morning, John addresses something It's very human, isn't it? Our instinct, very human. Where are we going and how do we get there? That's right. I mean, four words that every parent is scared to hear. Are we there yet? That's right, isn't it? The disciples want to know the next step, the next turn. What would it be like? How long would the trip be? That sort of thing. You know, we turn on our sat nav and that tells us the duration, it tells us the direction, it tells us what to look out for. And they were asking the same sorts of thing. How do we get there? What should we look out for to provide some sort of comfort so we know we're on the right route, the right way? And what will it be like when we get there? But Jesus makes it clear to the disciples this, that there won't always be a defined way, a complete way that they can identify as they travel through this life. And it's the same for us, isn't it? We won't know what's around the corner. And sometimes that's just as well. I think I'm happier not knowing exactly what's happening tomorrow. Because sometimes tomorrow, as the Lord says, has got enough troubles of its own. But he knows. That's the point. Instead, we are tasked with simply knowing and believing and trusting Jesus. It's a simple message, but it's true. Simply knowing and trusting Jesus in our daily walk of faith, believing that he is the way, abiding in him, being close to him, following him as he leads. You see, as I said, there's not necessarily a defined way and a way that's not obvious to us. But we can rest in the knowledge that Jesus will lead us exactly where we should be, both as individuals and as a fellowship. Jesus will lead us exactly where we need to be if we walk in obedience to him, in his living word, by the Spirit, being in touch with him. There are occasions, think Philip going down to the road of Gaza to meet the Ethiopian official, or a bit more scarily, Ananias going to pray with Saul, when the Lord directs a person specifically to a specific point. But very often we don't know what's going to happen, but rest in the knowledge, have peace in the knowledge that the Lord does as he leads you daily. The old hymn says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Help me, lead me with heavenly light, teach me thy way." And you know, this leads us on to a related thought. In John chapter 10, Jesus declared two other of the I Am sayings. "I am the good shepherd, I am the gate." And describing the good shepherd, Jesus states this: when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you know his voice? Do you listen to his voice intently? Because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." As we come through Jesus, we are saved. Thank you, Lord. We come to you and we're saved. Praise God. How great he is. Jesus makes a comparison here of him being a caring shepherd to us, his sheep. And if I'm honest, I'm sure that Hayden could talk far more about shepherding and sheep. But just a few thoughts. Sheep don't choose their own path. Their path to safety and protection means that they have to rely on the shepherd to guard and care for them. And that's what we need to do too. The shepherd resulting in security. Because if we wander away from the shepherd, we have that feeling of insecurity and a loss of spiritual well-being and our position in the flock. But with Jesus, we'll be exactly where we need to be. And that's why it's so important to listen to him. Psalm 23 puts it perfectly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Three things in that strikes me. He makes me lie down. He leads me by quiet waters. And he guides me along the path. Because it's conditional upon the obedience and staying close to the good shepherd who knows best. Thirdly, Jesus making it clear that he is the way to the Father. I've already said that. And by extension, the only way to heaven. Not a way, but the way. Pastor Hayden's devotions this week have largely centered on Ephesians. And this is a quote from Ephesians chapter 2. That Jesus himself is our peace, who set aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. He preached peace to those far away and those near. Listen to this. Through him, we both have access to the Father. We have access to Almighty God, the Father, through one Spirit, because of what Jesus has done for each one of us. A contemporary Christian poet wrote this, a few words of prose. If all roads lead to God, who controls the traffic lights? What a great question. Who has authority? Who is in control? Of course, we as believers know that God is in control, and the only way to him is the way, Jesus, his Son, our Saviour. Hebrews 10, a few verses from that, says this, and this tells us the type of way. Therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells, by means of the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way, which he has initiated and opened for us through the veil, as in the Holy of Holies, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great and wonderful high priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart, in unqualified assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The way of the law resulted in condemnation, but then Jesus came. Jesus came with a new and living way. We have an unqualified assurance of faith, an enabling way, a route to meet us an Almighty God through whom we have access to. A righteousness, not of our own. We couldn't qualify ourselves, but in and through Jesus, we can. How can we be so bold as to approach Almighty God? Well, the old hymn says this, there is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, a holy spiritual energies, an advocate with God. Time is absolutely gone. I just want to read a couple more things and then I'll close. The challenge remains for us to make sure we're right and on the only way. There's a slide here of Psalm 139 and it says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. That's a challenge for each one of us, isn't it, before God? You scrutinize my path, my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. You know, Isaiah 40 is poignant at Christmas, speaks perhaps mostly of John Baptist, but is relevant to us here this morning too. It says this in Isaiah 40, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert the highway for our God. Every valley and hill, sorry, every valley should be raised and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places plain. You know, today's world is very much a spiritual wilderness, isn't it? Very much a world where it's barren, bereft and parched for the word of God and the moving of his spirit. And the challenge to us this morning is that our preparation at this time of year should include making a way for our God. And what do I mean by this? Well, in reference to Isaiah 40, to bring low the things that we sometimes exalt and think are important. Bring them down. Situations to raise up. Situations sometimes bring us down. Don't let situations bring down our faith. Be constant in our faith. Raise up. Bring down those things that shouldn't be there. Raise up from those difficulties. The Lord is with us to raise us up. Be worthy of our walk. Be consistent in our walk. To move from the wandering and distractions and remove the rough edges by his grace, by the fruit and the operation of the Holy Spirit, thereby preparing a straight highway, as it says in Isaiah 40, for the Lord to minister through us. Just going to skip to the very last slide that I've got here. And it's just simply this. So, do you know where you're going? I'm trusting everybody here does, but there's folks who are watching elsewhere. Do you know where you're going? Have you found the way? The only way? The living way to eternal life? The route to peace with God? Jesus is the way.